This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It truly is a sincere honor to welcome live to this program for the first time Rita Dove. She is a former poet laureate of the United States, consultant to the Library of Congress, and poet laureate of the Commonwealth of Virginia from 2004 to 2006. She is the recipient, of course, of numerous literary and academic honors, among them the 1987 Pulitzer Prize in Poetry. It truly is a thrill to have you here. Thank you so much for coming.
It's a delight to be here.
So we have so much we want to talk about and not much time to do it, but let me talk first with what we're doing in the first hour of the program today and remembering Dr. Martin Luther King, his visit to Charlottesville, his vision, his leadership at a crucial time in this country's history. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on this day?
Well, of course, every time I listen to that last speech, I am moved, and I move beyond tears, I guess you could say, because he knew somehow, and when I listen to that speech as a writer, I am also moved by how incredibly, what a genius he was at using words and using intonation. I mean, how he moved from that sneeze, which of course brings a laugh to us, but also makes us weep because we know we're never going to have that again. How he moves from that to, "I've been to the mountaintop, I still don't know." It's
with no notes in front of him.
Just went there. It's so incredible. So, but I also think back on all of the wonderful speeches that he gave and how he galvanized us all. I was 11 years old when he marched on Washington, and the march on Washington was on my birthday, and so I felt super honored that he chose my birthday. Of course, he didn't choose my birthday, but in fact, our family went from Ohio. We all drove down to Washington, D.C. My father marched in the march, and my mother and my brother and sisters and I stayed in with some relatives in Washington, D.C. and listened to the reports that were coming back. So I have this really curious feeling of being there and not being there.
We're talking with Rita Dove, former poet laureate of the United States, and now in the Department of English at the University of Virginia. We're so honored to have her live in studio. Before we continue our conversation, do you mind just here at the top of the giving us a reading? I know you brought a short poem here, testimonial, and share that with us, and then we'll talk about it.
Sure, I'll be happy to. This poem is in a book called On the Bus with Rosa Parks, and in the book, the poems do deal with that idea of whether you're going to get on the bus or not, and where are you at that moment in history. This is my particular take on my life. Testimonial. Back when the earth was new and heaven just a whisper, back when the names of things hadn't had time to stick, back when the smallest breezes melted summer into autumn, when all the poplars quivered sweetly in rank and file. The world called, and I answered. Each glance ignited to a gaze. I caught my breath and called that life, swooned between spoonfuls of lemon sorbet. I was pirouette and flourish. I was filigree and flame. How could I count my blessings when I didn't know their names? Back when everything was still to come, luck leaked out everywhere. I gave my promise to the world, and the world followed me here.
We're talking with Rita Dove. She is live in studio, and we're honored to have her here. Did you know as a child that you wanted to write? How did writing find you? How did this life of letters find Rita Dove?
Gosh, it found me, I must say. I knew that I loved writing, but I didn't know that I could write. Let's say that there was a life of letters out there. I read first. I read everything. I read science fiction stories. I read comics. I wrote comics. My brother and I wrote comics. And I wrote science fiction stories, and I would put little black girls in these science fiction stories because they weren't there. But I thought somehow, because I had never met a writer, because I had, you know, I just figured that someday I was going to have to put away this thing that was enormous fun and join the world of adults. And luckily, I never had to join, or maybe I, you know, I realized this was part of the world of adults. I kept writing, but I wrote surreptitiously and under the covers and didn't show people. Of course, in high school, you never show anybody your work. And it wasn't until I got to college that I kind of stumbled into a creative writing class. And I literally, it was an accident. I was supposed to be taking a composition course. It was a required course. And the professor got ill, and they asked the fiction writing professor to take over the class. So he walked into the class and said, "We're going to write stories and you'll figure it out." So I was ambushed in a wonderful way. And I said, "You mean there are classes in this thing that I've been doing under the covers all my life?" That's how I got started.
So was it, how about poetry? The difference between the literature and playwriting and poetry, you've done it all. Why is it that you've leaned towards the verse?
Well, I think it's because, and excuse my prejudice here, but I really think it's the core. I really think it's the you know, the one that requires the most attention to the music of the language, the texture of the words, the history of the words, and the placement of the words on the page. It's the masochist's choice, perhaps. but I think it's also because I love music. I grew up with music. I play the cello and all from 10 years old on, and then switched to singing and stuff like that. But the music of the words, if you don't have your hands, and I'm using my hands wildly right now, but if you don't have your hands or your facial expressions or your tone of voice to give that little tilt to your words so people know exactly what you're saying, then you're going to have to build the music in the words on the page. And I love the idea of scoring language, let's put it that way, putting it into a musical score. So I think that's why I leaned toward it.
Is that why you, because I know you also are very much into dancing, is that why you enjoy dancing? Because it's something about moving to music and always being mindful of movement and music going together?
Yes, I think dance was all, it's a kind of almost inevitable place that I would have tested out. And I love it. What I love about dancing as well, besides that, everything that you've said about the music and the way that you have to go through it and then incorporate it, is the fact that the body is involved. And so often, I think, as a writer, you end up sitting in front of your desk just writing, you have a cramp, and you get up and you can barely walk because your knees have just locked. To move the body, to be in the world physically, is so important. And dancing is one way to remind me of that.
We're talking with Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Rita Dove, author, playwright, member of the Department of English at the University of Virginia, and we're honored to have her with us. Tell me about when you write. Do you write in the mornings? Do you write on the longhand on the computer? What is the nuts and the bolts of the writing life for you?
Oh, writers love to talk about this. You know, actually, I'm not a morning person at all. I am such a night owl that you won't believe. I mean, I went to bed today at 6:30.
This morning,
yes. And I worked all through the night. I love it when I can do that because it is my natural biological clock. You know, there's nothing romantic about writing while everybody else is asleep. It's when I'm most alive. And I write longhand. I need that physical contact. And at the point where I used to go to the typewriter, I go to the computer. And I do use the computer all the time. And, you know, it's wonderful to be able to Google something or to look something up quickly, a fact that I just need to get out of the way so I can get back to the work. But basically, most of the work is done by hand.
Now, once upon a time, you were a student studying literature and poetry, and now you are a teacher. Mm-hmm. What's that experience like of moving from being the student to the teacher, and what have your students taught you?
Mm. Well, first of all, I am naturally a very shy person. When I was I think one of the reasons why I read so much when I was a child was because I could curl up into a little ball and I could, the world would open to me, but, you know, I didn't have to interact with people. I was so shy. To become a teacher of writing was a terrifying prospect, to stand in front of people. And it wasn't until I realized, until I put myself into the place of my students and remembered what it was like to be so open and eager, that I was able to leap over my own shadow, so to speak, and begin to teach. My students have taught me that you should never assume. You know, one of the one things is never assume. And I would tend to forget, I think, when I taught, that there were some things that they didn't know, or that there were experiences that I had been through, falling in love for the first time, et cetera, that they were just going through for the first time. And it was as exciting, as vibrant, and as new for them as it had been for each of us. And never assume that something is old hat.
We're talking with Rita Dove. The phone lines are open if you've got a question or a comment at 977-1070. Read for us, if you can, and I know this poem that you picked out is from a recent book, and I can't even pronounce the title. It's a Sonata...
Mulatica,
which is about what? It's about history, right?
Well, yes, it takes an event from history and fleshes out the life of a man who has dropped out of history. His name was George Bridgetower. He was a mixed-race prodigy violinist who lived in Europe in the 19th century, mostly. Was born in the 18th and moved into the 19th. His claim to fame was that he premiered Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata, and Beethoven actually had dedicated it to him before they got into an argument over a girl, and Beethoven, being Beethoven, shredded the dedication. So what intrigued me about Bridgetower were several things. First of all, a mixed race. I mean, his mother was European, white European. His father was African. How did he exist during that time? And how did he get to Beethoven? And also, how did he disappear? So all of those aspects of history, what makes it into the history books or not, is something that's always fascinated me. And I was curious to know about his life, and I began to just research him, and then the poems began to come. This particular poem takes place when he's a very young boy. He's about 10 years old. He's gone to London with his father, who is kind of shopping him around as this violin prodigy. And in London, if you wanted to get music, you didn't have radio stations and you didn't have any kind of recordings. Everything was live and right on the street. And you could either be someone high up the ladder and play at, in theaters, which is where Bridgetower is going right now, or you could be a street musician. And this is the song of a street musician. He really did live in London in 1790. His name was Black Billy Waters, had a peg leg, and he played the violin. So he's watching, Black Billy Waters is watching this young boy go by him as he sings his song. Black Billy Waters at his pitch. All men are beggars, white or black. Some worship gold, some peddle brass. My only house is on my back. I play my fiddle, I stay on track, give my peg leg, thank you, sire, a jolly thwack. All men are beggars, white or black. And the plink of coin in my gunny sack is the bittersweet music in a life of lack. My only house is on my back. Was a soldier once, led a failed attack in that greener country for the Union Jack. All men are beggars, white or black. Crippled as a crab, sugary as sassafras. I'm Black Billy Waters, and you can kiss my ass. My only house weighs on my back. There he struts like a Turkish crackerjack. London queues for any novelty, and that's a fact. All men are beggars, white or black. And to this bright brown upstart hack among kings, one piece of advice, don't unpack. All the home you'll own is on your back. I'll dance for the price of a mean cognac, sing gay songs like a natural-born maniac. All men are beggars, white or black. So let's scrape the catgut clean, stack the cords three deep. See, I'm no quack, though my only house is on my back. all men are bakers, white or black.
That from Sonata Mulatica, 2009, by Rita Dove. Before we let you go, can you take a moment to just reflect on the place of literature, poetry, the classics even, in higher education? Because you and I both know that it's under threat by the push towards, even at the University of Virginia, a strong push towards the sciences, in the arts and sciences. The arts still treasured, still holds a place. But it's a bit precarious, that place.
Precarious is the word. And it's a big question, but it's an important thing to talk about. People may say that I'm, of course, biased because I'm a poet, but I really truly believe that literature and the humanities are at the core of all of our learning. What they do is they provide that template for understanding the world, for understanding that everything that is happening in the structure of the world is something that humans have imposed on it, and therefore it comes out of their humanity. If you can understand that that language is used by human beings to explain those things which we cannot explain inside of us, all of the conflicting emotions, and that therefore it is a very important tool that we have to learn to use carefully and wisely, and everything else comes out of that. And that even goes to scientific reports. I come from a family of scientists. My father is a retired chemist. I have a sister who is a chemist and a brother who's in computer sciences. I did well in the sciences. I respect them and I love them. But I also know that some of the greatest scientists that I've met, and I've met Nobel Prize winners and all of that, that they understand how that you have to be able to imagine that next discovery even before you can get to it. So to train your imagination, to be comfortable in your imagination, then to be able to articulate it, is central to our existence.
Yeah, and so much of science is paying close attention, looking for pattern. This is poetry. I mean, that is poetry.
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember once sitting next to a man in a very crowded train in Rhode Island when all the airports were closed and so everyone had piled into the train. And so we were sitting there and we began to talk because it was so crowded, and he was a microbiologist. And he hesitated saying that. He says, "I usually don't say that because people back away." And then I said, "I'm a poet." So here we are. So we began to talk about what we did. I said, "Describe what you do." And he was someone who, in fact, was looking for a particular anomaly in the DNA strand. And he said, "I take a walk along the DNA strand and look for anything out of place." And I said, "Poetry, yeah. Pattern, there it is."
Rita Dove is the former Poet Laureate of the United States, consultant to the Library of Congress, the former Poet Laureate of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the winner of the Pulitzer Prize in Poetry. It truly has been a great thrill to have you here. Thank you so much for coming by.
You're welcome. It's been great.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.